Good morning. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I have Jeremy Rivera, SEO expert extraordinaire, in today. Hi, Jeremy.
It's nice to be here.
So what SEO is you, and Jeremy Rivera is your business name.
That's right.
So tell me what SEO is, and I mean, listen, we only got a half an hour, but search engine optimization is what SEO stands for, and it's
correct.
Probably this buzzword that in the last like 5 years or so, people, it's kind of taken off.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's awesome because when I was growing up, they're like, what do you want to be? I'm like, I just want to be like an animator or something. Like, I liked claymation and just random things. Like, my dad helped me make a teepee, so I wanted to make teepees for a living. and then we made a canoe, so I want to be a canoe maker. So didn't really have like a super strong plan, and my parents didn't really help me to launch at college. I went to like community college for half a year and mostly studied German, Japanese, Spanish, and English at the same time.
Real like concrete
you do,
things.
You know,
that
like
would, yeah.
It's obviously a career there.
A linguist.
Yeah, a polyglot. You know, yeah. I could be a linguistics major, but I wound up getting a hosting job, working for a hosting company in customer support, and we could answer any question that people had. People kept asking, how do you get your website to rank better on Google?
And what year was this?
This was 2006.
Okay.
So I've been doing this for 17, 18 years. I can't do math. It's a long time.
Yeah.
To think that we now live in a society where your questions are answered. When I was a kid, I had a question. I had to wait to go to the library to get it answered. Maybe we had Encyclopedia Britannica, half of the volume. We had A to P.
Yeah.
So if there was anything like, T or U or Z, I had to go to my friend's house.
How many people do you think listening are like, what is encyclopedia, period? Like, I don't know.
I mean, depends on the demographic.
People are that are driving. But yeah, it's hard to like think of the world what it used to be.
Yeah, without search, you know, we have at our hands, and it's evolved even in that time of we used to have to get to a computer, and you know, first it was dial up, and then we got unreliable internet, and now everybody's got reliable internet.
I got the Ethernet cable that, you know, I had to plug my computer into. I had a laptop, but it didn't really matter much.
Yeah. So now you have people walking around in your hand, the capability to access about 3/4 of the world's knowledge, period. Mm-hmm. You can take rocket courses. You can become a rocket surgeon. You can view MIT material for free right now on the internet. So the reality is that our world has changed. How we access things has changed. How we find people has changed. How we find the products and services that we use has changed. And, you know, a lot of small business owners are just inundated and kept under because there's such a learning curve. There's so much opportunity that it's really overwhelming for somebody who, you know, has a lot of deep knowledge about, you know, I'm working with one guy, he does asphalt, you know, he repaves asphalt, and that's what he knows. And he can do that day and night. But if I talk about how to, you know, track calls off of his website and attribute leads to him based off of clicks, I've lost him already.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to start with the fundamental idea that there is a search engine. There are multiple versions of it. Google is the most well-known, but there are search engines in Twitter. There's search engines in Facebook. There's search engines in any social media platform.
AskJeeves.com. That was where I started at my searching abilities.
Very old school, early search engines.
Did you just call me old, Jeremy?
I said old school.
Oh, okay.
It's just like, you know, repping the OG. I mean,
right.
I've been doing this 18 years, so I'm old too.
Yeah.
I don't feel it. I feel like a kid. I get to play around on the internet all day for my job.
Yeah.
And some days at the end of the work day, I'm like, did I do something? I changed some things on the website. I edited some text and I sent an email to a guy and they're going link to my client's site. So did I do anything? And it takes a little bit of time to connect the effort of what I'm doing to, you know, talking that next week. And, oh, hey, I got a lead from Kentucky from that page that you put up, and he's going to do $40,000 worth of business with me. So, you know, he's paying me a portion of his profits that he makes off of that job. And going forward from that point on, that page is now on the internet and accessible. It's called Index. So Google has an incredible system that people don't understand, an ecosystem of data. They're trying to sort and process and provide somebody who has a phone, who's at a laptop, they need an answer. They want to know what's going on with this. They type it in, and like magic, within a fraction of a second, people are getting answers to their questions. So for the business owner, it's about understanding the intent of their customer and understanding what are the terms or phrases that people actually use to discover them, and creating the content and creating the online presence and authority so that Google chooses your resources, chooses your page, chooses your result, or something affiliated or associated with you in that set of results. It could be, you know, having a Facebook page as well as having an interview that you've done somewhere else, having a page that's about that specific service. There are multiple things that you can do to bring visibility to something that's non-existent. You know, you could literally make up a business. You could, turn fossils into necklaces on a Saturday night, set up a website, and suddenly now, you know, fossil necklaces in Cookeville is a thing. Mm-hmm. And so Google sees that, but it also sees up to I think the number is so ridiculous, you won't believe it. There's like 500 million pages added to the internet every single day.
Wow.
500 million pages. And so Google, but not all of that's good, right? That's not all, like there are new pages. Just because there's new pages on these sites, there's automatic feeds that create stub pages. There are sites, you know, most websites has underneath the surface, this iceberg of junk, of pages that don't really matter. They're duplicates, they're old content, and they don't matter, but they still are making new pages for it. So Google has to sort and prioritize and choose who shows up in those rankings.
Well, and I'm guessing like a site like Eventbrite. So Eventbrite is a website that people can go on and create their own events and, and sell ticketed, tickets to events or give away free tickets. But we use that as the Biz Foundry, and every time we make an event, so maybe four or five times a month, it's a unique URL to that page. And then once the event's done, that page is, it's still probably in the world.
It exists. And so Google has to sort those out. So that's part of the SEO process, is understanding how is Google choosing the sites that rank in your particular industry and niche, because it's very different. You know, I've got one agency and all of his clients are in the cannabis CBD industry. And it's very different from my asphalt client and very different from my client, any of my other clients. Each time there's a new industry, there's new challenges because there might be legal things that you might not be able to say certain terms. Like on Google Ads, you can't advertise for certain phrases related to cannabis and marijuana. In a particular industry or niche, it could be boring. It's like waste oil heaters where they take old oil and turn it into heating. It's boring, but I've also worked with, luxury spas, and they're able to go and take a video and, ooh la la, it's super interesting. That's way easier to work with. But you need a person who understands what's going on with the website, what's going on with the business in general, to connect those digital marketing efforts to revenue at the end of the day. Because if I don't move the needle for the business, if they don't make more money at the end of the season, quarter, or year, then they're not going to hire me again. They're not going to pay me a retainer to help them do this. But I've also had situations where the amount of benefit that they've received is astronomically disparate. Like I spend a couple thousand dollars, optimizing their site, and they've made millions of dollars because they created the right content for the right people at the right time. And, I was listening to an interview with Rand Fishkin, who's like a big SEO in our industry, and he's talking about how social media apps have really even changed what we knew in the digital marketing industry in the past 10 years, because LinkedIn wants to keep you there. Google wants to keep you there. Instagram wants to keep you there. TikTok. There's a diminishing of the number of times that you see a link that you can click on in an app that'll take you out of it, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're swiping, you're scrolling, but you're not clicking on things and leaving it. You're spending hours and hours on Twitter. I refuse to call it X. And you're not following those links. You're just seeing what people are outraging about today, but you're not following the links to the news. But mm-hmm. then you're like, oh, what was that detail about that story? And you're Googling it. So then Google gets all of the credit for mm-hmm. all of this traffic. But if you're a marketer like me and you're trying to prove, oh, hey, I did this thing and I got you this business, how'd you do that when social media is dark? When they're not attributing, like you can't attribute that those posts on LinkedIn or Facebook or Twitter actually sent traffic, because they didn't. But, you know, if you did your promotion correctly, then people are actually searching for it after, as like the second event. Mm-hmm. So there's, you know, thinking about your business, thinking about how to reach people. It's about how you create content on your site. You know, what would you say you do here in terms mm-hmm. of office space? Look at your page. Did you actually say it? Like, because I've done literally 100 audits, and out of 50 of them, I couldn't tell you what the person did based off of the text on the homepage. Like, ignore mm-hmm. the pictures, read the text. We're best in customer service. We've got the best record. We'll get the job done.
Right.
And it sounds great from a sales perspective, but
what's the job?
Yeah, what's the job?
Yeah, are you selling me cannabis? Or are you paving my driveway? Like, yeah. You know, that could be either of them.
Yeah, there was a guy, and he did a restaurant rebranding, and I thought that he actually ran a Red Robin. Like, I thought I was going to work with a Red Robin. I was super excited, but no, it wasn't Red Robin. He rebranded and redid all of their logos and did like those huge signs. Like, it was a big company. It was a big deal, but you couldn't tell because like, we've got the best customer support. I'm like, support? Like, talk about rebranding these things.
We'll be right back in a second. Thanks for sticking with us. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I have Jeremy Rivera from Jeremy Rivera, that's a lot, SEO. We're talking about SEO, search engine optimization, and how to get people to your website, how to track that data. But then how do you know, so you get somebody to your website from social media mm-hmm. or Google search. Or
mostly which, Google.
Yeah, mostly also. Google searches. But then how do you know that you're converting any sales from that?
Yeah, so...
Because that's, at the end of the day, we're small business owners. We have to make money. That's what a business is.
Correct. So on your website, there's like three primary methods to get somebody to do something. And that's either a form where there are fields where they can give you their name, their email address, their phone number, and a little bit of detail about what they're doing or what they want from you or what you mm-hmm. can do for them. So there's form submissions. There's a phone number on the site. And then there's, you know, the listing of an email address where they can contact you. You know, that's traditionally been, you know, most of the channels. You can also, you know, like, you know, you're technically getting in touch with somebody if it's like an e-commerce platform and, you know, there's a product listing and they click add to cart and they make a transaction, maybe create a profile. So they're in a limited way, you know, they have to take action and you want to prompt them to do that. So when you are building your page, you want to think about that as a user experience. Was it super slow to load? Because that actually directly affects how many people will actually stick around on the page and contact you. That conversion of a visitor is called your conversion rate. But it's not the entire story, because just because you get a form submitted, let's say it's my asphalt client, right? Mm-hmm. Just because they submit that form, they still got to get an email back. Mm-hmm. If they dial that phone number, if they click that and they make a call, then he has to pick up that phone or give them a call back and close that deal. And so it's not a done deal right then and there. And so you should have call tracking. You can, if you're a service area business or a product business, you can actually use something like CallRail, which will dynamically swap out your phone number based off of where they came from and create a pool of phone numbers so you can actually track, did they come from search? Did they come from a paid ad? Did they come from social? Did they come from, I paid for a placement on a radio station, you know, sending that traffic to them. You can actually attribute where that phone call came from, which is huge.
Yeah.
For local service businesses, knowing what's moving the needle to a certain degree.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was talking on my own podcast, Unscripted SEO Podcast, with Jonas Sickler of Terakey, an agency, and he said it's about owned asset optimization, thinking about your site as an asset and what you can do to improve it. But it's not just your site. It's can you get a podcast going separately from your business that can promote you? Can you host a local river cleanup and create a website for that in your community, make a difference, make an impact, but also get the, you know, that sponsored link to send people back to your site?
Well, and let me say, like, people probably don't understand this as much, but the owned assets, Facebook, your Facebook page is not owned by you. It's owned by Facebook, and Facebook can do whatever they want with it. Your Instagram account, your TikTok account, all those things are not owned assets by the business.
That's correct.
They're all owned. And I think we forget that sometimes of like, oh my gosh, I have, you know, 40 million followers on Instagram. Well, if Instagram decides to go down or they decide to
change,
you know,
their algorithm,
right?
What happened in Facebook? I 2010, 2012, I was working with realtors and they had huge blossoming, you know, local communities on Facebook where they would build up these people and they'd be able to make home sales from that, from their interaction there. And overnight, Facebook changed its algorithm to more aggressively require advertising to basically do anything. They no longer had access to that. That withered on the vine. So relying on third-party sites where you're creating these followers and you have a profile there, it's not predictable. It is a strategic choice to operate in that channel. So that's, you know, that's choosing, okay, am I going to use LinkedIn because there's a lot of professionals I want to reach? Do I want to do TikTok? Do I want to use Instagram because that's my demographic of females who are 40 who are operating there who might be interested in that? So choosing which channel to promote and push is important. And always having a resource to tie back to on your own website, though. Having, like you do an event, have a page on your website related to it. If you're creating a new product or service, you know, creating additional topical content that's around it. You know, if you're selling, you know, necklaces, you know, having a workshop of how to do that at a physical location, you could promote that event elsewhere, but you want to have an event page where that gets linked to.
So I'm going to say something that probably is going to hurt your heart a little bit, but until about a year or two ago, I was anti web pages. I thought as a coach in small businesses, I wasn't allowed to say that out loud, but I'm from the Facebook generation. And so I'd always go to Facebook to search for businesses that I wanted to know about. And I've realized the value, but can you explain why it's important to keep people on your website, this owned asset, and why is it important so that you have this river event and you link back to this website? Why is that important to have that all connected?
Sure, because your website, it's going to continue to aggregate authority. Like you're going to get more links and authority, and that's half of the puzzle that Google uses to send search traffic. It's trying to sort through your competitors who are doing the exact same thing. They have the same products or close to the same product. So you have to differentiate yourself. So you either need to create more useful, relevant content that's helpful for the visitor, the user, whether it's their first purchase or their last purchase, whether they've subscribed. You need to have content that's interesting and useful for them there to show up in those search results. So participating in those other events elsewhere may be temporary, or maybe they're not as valuable over the long term, but having something that's referenced, it's like an octopus, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like if you you don't want to become dependent on one single arm that always brings in your traffic, whether that's social media. You want to have other arms that are reaching into these other venues and bringing it back to your site so that you can convert all of that traffic. So mm-hmm. There's continued value in developing more pages for your site, thinking about, you know, have that conversation with, you know, if you're lucky enough to have a support team, if you have a sales team, talk to them about the problems. What's preventing people from buying? You should have that answer. What are the problems that people are having that's leading them to buy something? Or, you know, if you're selling decks, you know, you're talk about how to measure out these things, because certainly halfway through the DIY project, you're going to get somebody to realize I'm in over my head.
Yeah.
And so putting that information out there may be counterintuitive of like, well, I build decks. Why would I tell them how to build decks? I'm putting myself out of business. No, you're really actually showing you that you are an authority. You know mm-hmm. what you're doing. So showing that you have that expertise, talent, and service, that USP, that unique selling proposition, put that into your content. Have a service page for each unique different thing. Don't have like one page that scroll down. Don't have a single page website ever. Have a page for every unique thing that your business does. Have a page that features your unique team. What is your values? Why should people choose you? Your testimonials, all of those things reinforce that conversion of a person to a lead. And it also shortens, you know, it increases your ability once you have that lead to actually convert them to somebody that pays money or comes to your location.
Is there a number of pages that's like kind of optimal that Google thinks like this is a great website?
No, because every website is different. Every industry is different. And you're competing with people with, you know, like one out of 20 asphalt people even have a website,
yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
But if you're doing, you know, travel industry, everybody's got multiple websites. So every niche is different. You got to go for it.
We'll be right back. Welcome back. I am Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I have Jeremy Rivera, SEO in today, guru on all things. I mean, it's not even just websites. I feel like you have a good handle on sales, small businesses. Is there a reason that you want to work with small businesses as opposed to huge corporations?
Yeah. So it's probably personal experience. I worked with HCA, the huge corporation. They literally drug tested me forced me to come to their campus, have a campus and a security guard to edit like two pages worth of information. Mm-hmm. Like I had to change like 15 words, maybe 20-ish words altogether. I had to jump through all this red tape and hoops. So the larger the business, the larger the enterprise, the more red tape exists. And mm-hmm. so I have worked at the national level. I worked with Captain D's. I've worked with Logan's Roadhouse, you know, very large corporations on a consulting basis. But those aren't as much fun because while the reward could be huge, there's so many extra steps you have to take to, you know, like we argued for, like we had three meetings with 15 people in it to change like the H1, the hero text on a homepage for this major corporation. I'm like, you guys are spending so much money arguing with me. Like mm-hmm. we could have done this 2 weeks ago. So, yeah. You know, I love working with small business owners because I can say, hey, you know what? We need to add a complete page. Tell me about, the gravel drives that you want to start doing. Okay, well, you know, he talks at length about that and yeah. we'll record it and take a transcript and take that content and put it onto the page and have a button. Hey, do you have a crappy driveway? You know, do you need to get this fixed? Do you have potholes? You know,
so, and probably they're like, oh my gosh, anything you do is great. They're not going to argue about 15 words.
Exactly.
You know? So I think, like you said, even an asphalt company, like most of them don't even have a website. So you're you know, kind of giving a leg up. So what if, let's say a new client comes to you and mm-hmm. is like, okay, I have a business and I want help, you know, with having my website be good, but also I want to convert these sales. What does that process look like with you? What are you doing with these people?
Yeah. So, you know, first I'm taking some unique tools to the SEO industry, because there's third-party tools like Ahrefs, SEMrush. I made a tool called SEO Arcade, and it basically looks at how many people per month are searching for different terms and phrases relevant to your particular business. And it shows you monthly, you know, there's 100 people searching for HVAC Nashville. There's 200 people searching for Nashville air conditioning services. So first, it's about creating a cluster of keywords that are relevant to your business, your niche, that define the intent of somebody that matches that product or service. So once you have that universe, then you kind of take it to the next step and you kind of forecast, okay, well, just because 100 people are searching a month for that term doesn't mean if I'm ranking number one, I even get a fraction of that. Actually, most people don't know that you only get about 30-ish percent of clicks if you're ranked number one. So if you're at the bottom of the page, you're actually getting something 2, maybe 5%-ish if you're the last result on the first page of Google. And you're in the number 10 spot, as we call it. So you have to look at all of these keywords and think about, okay, I need a page that focuses specifically about HVAC Nashville. I need a page that focuses on my air conditioning services, because each page has its own opportunity to show up in those searches. And then you're competing with at least those 10 other pages, but really hundreds of other pages are constantly competing. So then it's about looking at your competitive marketplace. Are you David or are you Goliath? Are you the 600-pound gorilla in the room, or are you the noob? Are you David with your sling? But sometimes David gets slain in our industry.
Yeah.
You have to figure out, what is the strategy? What can I afford to do? But most people who have a website don't take the time to actually just say what it is that you do thoroughly. You know, don't just add one picture of your beauty salon. Talk about the services. Talk about the manicurists. They went to France and they got the specialty, you know, process that they do now. Actually say that in the text, and then create a blog post about the experience. Think about the pain points about that people are experiencing that they might be going to find your solution.
So one of the things I think you offer is that, so, you know, the Biz Foundry is an entrepreneur center. And so I think we focused really hard on entrepreneur because that's what, in my mind, we are, is an entrepreneur center.
Yeah.
Most laymans are not going to put, first of all, entrepreneur is a very hard word to spell.
It is.
There's a lot of ease in that word that I've just had to learn over the last 7 years. But most people will say small businesses.
Sure.
And so, but when you're in your industry, you know, maybe even HVAC guys will say it in a different way because they're so into it where, like, I'm going to type
industry
in.
Industry terms and jargon.
Yeah.
It happens.
And so
a lot.
Is that one of the things that you really bring to the table is, because we think, well, I know it, and this is how I would search it because I'm in this industry, but other people are not going to search it that way.
Absolutely. There was a company that they created a portable evaporative cooler you could set in your room, but they didn't want it to be called a swamp cooler. And they didn't want it to be called a portable evaporative cooler. They wanted it to be a room cooler, you know, like, is that a space heater?
Yeah. Okay.
You know, a space cooler.
Yeah.
They wanted it to be a space cooler. Nobody searches space cooler.
Yeah.
They don't think of it.
Right.
People are searching for portable evaporative cooler or for a swamp cooler, more colloquially. So they're like, well, we don't want to be associated with it. Okay, we'll say we're not your grandma's swamp cooler. We're cooler than that. You know, like you can be salesy and jargony and still get an impact, but you have to say the words. You know, Google translates text. It can tell the difference between a cat and a landscape as far as a picture now. So things are evolving, but you have to give Google something to work with and signals that you are the company. So that's being active in the community. That's getting links from other blog posts elsewhere that show you are the authority when it comes to this subject. And that's the hard part.
Well, and it's so interesting. So, you know, with all respect, I think you kind of like to nerd out on some of the nerd stuff, right? Like, so, you know, websites and coding and algorithms, there's a nerd aspect of that. Mm-hmm. But like, there's also the psychology aspect of how people are thinking and working through things. And you have, and what sales means, that's not as maybe nerdy. It's not, you know, you're not going into, you know, HTML and designing how people are thinking. That's a human nature kind of thing. So how have you meshed both of these worlds together to be successful at helping these small businesses?
So it's about the real world. You know, like at the end of the day, I have to make a difference in their business. And, you know, marketing is, you know, if we go back into the 1960s when marketing changed from, you know, these ads and people started selling the dream instead of selling the car, you know, Mad Men, mm-hmm. you know, Don Draper. Like thinking about that, like what is the impact? What are you trying to sell? What is it? What are those things translate? So, you know, it's part of marketing in general. But, you know, just because I'm doing digital marketing and there's this new opportunity, this new way for people to access and find businesses through search engines, the concept is still old. You know, if you own a business, you have a thing, you need to get in front of the people. And it's not like you have a thing, it's immediately sold. You have to convince them, you know. So it used to be, you know, standing on the soapbox and pitching your wares. Well, now the pitching occurs on your website. Mm-hmm. But you're more likely to trust somebody who has a nice store, a facade, and merchandising and well-lit aisles. You want your website to have well-lit aisles and yeah. clearly defined process. Like if there's some sketchy guy at the front who's like, can I help you? You know, yeah. like mumbling his words. That's totally different than, hey, can I help you find this good? Or yeah. what's going on? You know, can I get you to where you're going? Did we do a good job today? If there's attentiveness, it's the same trends. Like if you have a physical business, your physical manifestation of your business should reflect in what you create online for yourself.
Yeah.
If you feel as a professional in whatever industry, you know, you're doing, you know, plumbing, but you want to rep that you're trustworthy, then you shouldn't have a janky, you know, GeoCities website. It's a proxy for trust.
So speaking of websites, how can people find you if they're if they want to Google search?
Put in a Google search for Jeremy Rivera SEO. I'm local expert. You can find my podcast, Unscripted SEO Podcast. If you want,
is that everywhere you stream podcasts?
Yeah, everywhere you stream podcasts.
SEO Unscripted.
Yeah, I just choose random guests in the SEO industry, and we have unscripted conversations. Just explore what's happening, having interesting conversations. If you want to talk to me about SEO, I'm active on Twitter. You can find me at Jeremy Rivera SEO there.
Which would be X for all of the new
never
based people. Or they can pop into the Biz Foundry and Absolutely. Find you working over there. That's where your desk is most days. And so I think we could dive into a lot more of this. And you teach some workshops at the Biz Foundry
yes.
that you do. And some are just general, but then some are hands-on. So you have, there's a bunch of different ways. And I see the heart that you have for people to help them and want the best for all these businesses that you work with.
Absolutely. It's heartbreaking when I see a terrible website, you know, yeah. like I want to email them and be like, no, fix it. Like yeah. when I see a website and they don't even have a phone number for their florist shop, like you can get a phone service if you don't want the phone ringing all the time. Just yeah. have somebody transcribe those calls. But, you know, there's so many fundamental errors and little mistakes or just lack of awareness of opportunity for small businesses. You know, that's why I do workshops at the Biz Foundry. I'm always talking on Twitter and putting out new content and material that hopefully helps people when they read it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to help people out, I want to help you out.
help people help themselves
exactly.
too.
Exactly.
I think that's a big thing is that, you know, like you said, people want to say, oh, I'm not going to give my industry secrets out there. But, you know, people are trying to do this themselves. Mm-hmm. So if they can get a little bit and then they're like, oh, I'm rolling with this. I see the value. I can't do what I need to. Then I can hire somebody. And so you're smart with it and you do it in the right way.
There's definitely a thing in the SEO industry where you have to show the recipes. You have to talk about these things behind the scenes, like what's working, because, you know, it's a moving target. There's a lot of bad information out there, and there's a lot of people who are saying things that are 10, 20 years old. So there is a trust issue, and there are bad actors, unfortunately, yeah. out there who are predators, and they exploit people who don't know too much about it. So it's good to find a real-life person that you can connect with and understand and have that one-on-one in person. Because there's so much misinformation out there, because yeah. there's so much money to be made. There's so much opportunity.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming in today. Jeremy Rivera, SEO. Search it up. You can find his website come say hi, and he can definitely help you. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.